And very pleasant good morning, everybody. It's always good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind, and last night at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., the Marlins took on the Washington Nationals. Ross Detweiler served as the opener for Don Mattingly in the ball club. He went opposite of the veteran left-hander, John Lester, the three-time world champion. With the recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Marlins lose in Washington 18-1 tonight. It was a long night from the very get-go. John Lester facing Ross Detweiler. Detweiler, the opener for the Marlins tonight. Lester came in really struggling his last four times out, but he righted the ship here tonight, and he had some early run support. In the bottom of the first, after the Marlins had gone down with just a base hit by the leadoff man Miguel Rojas, the Nats wasted no time jumping on Ross Detweiler. Alcides Escobar is single. Man at first, nobody out for Trey Turner. On 1-2, Turner rips one by the third baseman. Birdie down the left field line, going to skim it along the sidewall. Here's Escobar waved around third. He's going to score. Turner wants a triple, the relay, and it's not in time. So a run scoring triple for Trey Turner to put the Nats in front 1-0 in the first. And they were just getting warmed up with Turner at third, upstepped the suddenly red-hot Juan Soto. Two home runs in his first game after the Derby. There's a ball ripped out toward left and deep. A long way back and gone. A home run for Soto. He's done it again. His fourth in four games since the home run Derby for Soto, number 15 on the season. And three batters in, the Nats have a 3-0 lead. And the next man to the plate was Josh Bell. On 3-2, Bell gets into one. Deep to left, way back, and gone. It's 4-0 Nationals. Some hard-hit baseballs. The Turner triple, 107 miles per hour off the bat. The Soto homer, 105. The Bell home run, 110 miles per hour off the bat. Four batters in. The Nats had a 4-0 lead. Now, Detweiler came back, retired the next three. Josh Harrison, Andrew Stevenson, and Gerardo Parra. But after the Marlins went down 1-2-3 in the top of the second, the bottom of the second got away from Detweiler and Miami in a hurry. The first man to the plate was Trace Barrera. The catcher leads off against Detweiler. He sends one deep to left center field. That's going to be the third Nationals home run of the night. It's the first big league homer for Trace Barrera, and it's 5-0 Washington. Well, the pitcher, John Lester, then followed with a single. Alcides Escobar was hit on the foot by a pitch. Two men on, nobody out for Trey Turner. The 3-2, Turner drive to deep left center field. Back goes Brinson at the wall. It's another home run. A three-run blast off the bat of Trey Turner. The Nationals have gone deep four times in the first inning plus here tonight. And now it's 8-0. Well, I think you get the drift at that point. That would be it for Detweiler. One inning plus, seven hits, eight runs, no walks or strikeouts. He hit a batter, allowed four home runs, all in the span of 38 pitches, 22 of which were strikes. David Hess came on. Juan Soto doubled after Josh Bell struck out. Josh Harrison, an RBI double. Andrew Stevenson popped up for the second half, but Gerardo Parra then singled home a run. That capped a six-run, six-hit second at the end of two. The Nationals had a 10-0 lead tonight. Nats would add to that lead in the fifth on a two-run home run by John Lester, the pitcher, his fourth big league homer. He went 2-for-3 in this ball game tonight. They would extend what was then a 12-0 lead in the seventh inning after Hess went four, gave up four runs on five hits. Andrew Bellotti up from AAA today pitched a scoreless sixth, but in the seventh, with one out, he allowed a Parra double, a Trace Barrera single, put men at the corners, pinch hitter Yadiel Hernandez an RBI single. Alcides Escobar followed with a single, and then pinch hitter Jordy Mercer hit a two-run single. That made it, at that point, a, let's see, 10, 12, 13, 14, 14-0 game, and with two men on, Juan Soto unloaded a three-run shot. Actually, it was 15-0 before the Soto home run. Soto's three-run homer made it 18-0. He finished the night 3-for-4 with a walk, had a couple of home runs, a double, drove in 5 runs in this game. And eventually, it was just one of those nights. Soto's home run came off Sandy Leon, who came out of the bullpen to pitch for the second time this year. Leon, the Marlins' backup catcher, allowed the home run to Soto, but then retired the next 5 men he faced. Josh Bell and Josh Harrison in the 7th inning, set down the side in order. Stevens and Parra and Barrera in the 8th. He becomes the first position player in Marlins history to work more than an inning on the mound in a game. Marlins finally broke up the shutout bid. At 18-0, the Nationals had a chance to hang the would have been the biggest shutout loss in Marlins history on this Marlins ball club. They'd been blanked 18-0 by the Braves in 1999. They were down 18-0 into the 8th here tonight. But with one out, already 2-for-3 in the game, Miguel Rojas disposed of the shutout bid. On 3-1, Miguel Rojas slugs one a long way left center. That one's on its way, and it's into the bullpen. Miguel Rojas breaks up the shutout bid with his 3rd hit of the night. He has singled, doubled, and homered, and it's 18-1. And that's how this one would end tonight. John Lester, 7 scoreless innings, 6 hits, no walks, 7 Ks. His best start as a National, 81 pitches, 59 strikes. Wander Suero allowed the Rojas home run in the 8th. Jeffrey Rodriguez then a scoreless 9th inning. Nats take it 18-1. 18 runs, 18 hits, no errors, 2 left for the Marlins. 1 run, 9 hits, 1 error. They strand 6. Lester, the winning pitcher, 3-4. Detweiler, the loser, 1-1. Time of the game, 2:53. The Nats now have won back-to-back games after losing 6 straight. They're just 4-11 in the month of July, even with these consecutive wins against the Padres yesterday and the Marlins tonight. The Nats are 44-49 overall. Now 26-24 at home. As for the Marlins, well, they're 1-4 on this trip coming out of the break. They've lost 7 of 9. Since they were 24-25 on May 26, they've now lost 29 of their last 45 games to fall 14 under .500 for the first time this year. Marlins now 40 up and 54 down. They're 18-33 on the road. 18-1 Washington, the final. Marlins pitchers ring up 6 strikeouts tonight. And with every Marlins strikeout, meaning a $25 contribution to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative, it's another $150 tonight, headed to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative, courtesy of the Marlins.
Not too sure what else there is to say other than that's a pretty tough night at the ballpark. Let's hear from Don Mattingly after that one.
Thanks, Dan. Hey, Donnie, obviously a while since the game has ended. So just kind of, is everything okay? Is that a result of moves or a team meeting?
Yeah, I mean, everything's okay. It was one of those games that just kind of went bad from the very beginning and, you know, really didn't get much better from there. So, yeah, I mean, as far as physically, everybody's all right. There hadn't been any moves made.
That being said, obviously a tough one tonight, Donnie. Is this one of those games that's tougher to just kind of brush off and get over for, I guess, a lack of better way to put it, because given the state of things, the way things have been going?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously not a good way to, you know, start this series. I did think we got a nice job out of Mr. Hess tonight, and he kind of got us to a point of the game where we weren't going to, you know, burn through our whole pen. Bellotti did a nice job, you know, giving us a little bit. Sandy was able to kind of finish it without getting crazy. So, you know, we kind of survived the game. This isn't really an easy one to wash off, honestly. But yeah, we're gonna be ready to go tomorrow.
Christina.
John, since the last time we spoke to you, I guess for the MRI results, you know, hearing that they were confirmed, do you think it's the severity is what was expected? Is it better or worse for both Jazz and Coop?
I'm not sure exactly how we've put everything out there, but I felt pretty good about it, honestly, to which way it could have went, you know, differently. I thought it was as good as, you know, we could have asked for with both guys. So I really felt a sigh of relief, really, you know, for both of these guys that you're not into just crazy rehabs and things like that. So, yeah, I think they went better, as good as we could ask.
I mean, it's still early. Is there, you know, idea that they could still play this season, or is that too early to
tell? Yeah. 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 I mean, again, they haven't, there's been nothing about a timetable or anything like that. But yeah, I expect to see both of these guys this year.
David.
Hey, Donnie. No Starling today. Is it just a day off, or is there something with him?
Yeah, he just kind of tweaked his shoulder a little bit on the slide yesterday late. I think that last stolen base attempt, and, you know, was just a little sore today. We're just going to give him today. And, you know, I feel like he'll play tomorrow. If he's not, like, up to that tomorrow, then, you know, probably the next day. So I feel pretty good about him.
And you talked about it before the game, just obviously like kind of a weekend from hell and then this. You guys, obviously, you've talked, you know, everyone knows the situation with the trade deadline coming up, but it's just make it, I mean, is that why you have the I assume, some sort of team meeting, some long time post-game talking, like everyone kind of knows the situation and that it's getting dire or really urgent?
This is kind of a wraparound weekend from hell. So we just had a wraparound weekend. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we talked about some stuff, but you know, nothing that I'm going to share.
Last one, Christina.
Yeah, just going back to that, you know, whether it was at the weird doubleheader and then the suspended game injuries, just what is the message to the team? Like, especially, you know, with a game like tonight, was it just compounded everything together, or is there something maybe you saw effort-wise from them?
No, it was an effort tonight for me. We just, you know, when you go out and, you know, like 13 pitches in, I think we're down three or four runs, and it just didn't stop. You know, sometimes that, you know, that goes out the second inning and gets on a roll and throwing zeros, and then, you know, we're able to chip away and get back in the game. It wasn't one of those games. It just kept going. And so it got away quick. And that's, you know, that's all that is. I mean, there's going to be games like this. And like I said, I think it's our first one we've really had like this. Most of the games this year, we've been able to kind of keep them in check and kind of, you know, get through the game and give ourselves a chance. But it got away so fast that, we're down 10, 11 runs quick.
All right, so that was Don Mattingly after the Marlins' 18-1 loss to the Washington Nationals last night. The Nationals pulled back to within 5 games of .500. They are 44-49. The Marlins are now 40-54. Game 2 of this series comes your way at 7:05 tonight when Trevor Rogers takes on the right-hander Paulo Espino of the Washington Nationals. 7:05 first pitch. That means we will talk to you. We're hitting the air at 6:35 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.